From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers starts part one of The Coming Kingdom of Christ. And you know, there will be a day come that God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven.
There'll come a time when God's will be fulfilled. And that's what we're waiting on. And we say, come quickly.
Come quickly. You know, Adrian Rogers says, God wants for you what you would want for yourself if you had enough sense to want it.
Oh, I love that statement. I love that statement. You know, we talked about here recently, you know, God never says, bring me your plan and I will bless it and rubber stamp it. No. He invites us to be on mission with him. And that mission is always, Byron, eternity focused.
Well, Carrie, you know, the late Dr. Billy Graham was a personal friend to Adrian Rogers. He once said, if you want a change in your life, if you want forgiveness and peace and joy that you've never known before, God demands total surrender. He becomes the Lord and ruler of your life.
That's a great story. In 1978, Dr. Graham was in Memphis with Dr. Rogers, and he stayed at the Holiday Inn, and he wrote a letter to Dr. Rogers afterwards. We have it in the lobby. They were great friends. But what he's saying is this: God wants us to be all in. And when we are 100% sold out to him, then God begins to move.
This listener from Jordan, Carrie, says, I've been watching and listening to LWF Ministries since the 1990s. Thank you for broadcasting these days. I miss Dr. Rogers. May his soul rest in peace.
And his ministry lives on. Though the messenger is not here, the ministry continues because it is truly profound truth, simply stated.
Carrie, let's remind those listening that you can keep LWF at your fingertips through our app. You can download it at the App Store, and it's called My LWF App. And there's all kinds of resources at your fingertips, like the Timeless Truth for Troubled Times. There are four never-before-broadcast messages from Adrian Rogers, so check that out real soon.
The app, the website, and then also the Facebook page. We do Tuesday nights, Conversations That Matter. And so, you know, all that is available. It's all quick, and it's at your fingertips.
Well, for The Coming Kingdom of Christ, Part 1, here's Adrian Rogers.
Do you want to know the will of God? Would you like to pray and know that you're in the will of God? Well, God does not reveal His will to rebels. Have you ever totally, honestly, sincerely, with all of your heart, with every inch, with every ounce, with every nerve, every fiber, as much as in you is, said, Thy will be done? Have you? Then if you have not, don't complain that you don't know the will of God. Don't you think that it is an absurdity, and don't you think it's a contradiction? And really, don't you think it's an insult to say, I want to know the will of God, but I'm not willing to do the will of God? You see, step number one in knowing the will of God is the surrender principle. Another principle, the surrender principle and the Scripture principle. Now, let me give you another verse of Scripture. Here, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You abide in me, that's surrender. My words abide in you, that's Scripture. You take the Word of God. This print is God's revelation to you. It is God's Word to you. Do you want to know God's will? Do you? You say, oh, I'd like to know the will of God. Test. How much time do you spend in this book? Do you think God really believes you when you say, I want to know the will of God, and yet you don't read the one book above all books that God has specifically written to show you His will, to reveal His will to you, to unfold His will to you? Don't you think that there's a little bit of hypocrisy in a person who says, God, I want more than anything else to do your will, and yet he does not study the Word of God to find out what the will of God is? Third principle. First one, the surrender principle. Second one, the Scripture principle. The third one, the Spirit principle. Now listen, let me give you another verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now here's the key, Romans 8:27, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There it is. Surrender principle. I want to know your will. Scripture principle. It's found in the Word of God. Spirit principle. The Holy Spirit of God helps you to understand the Word of God and helps you to articulate your prayer in the will of God. That's the way to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask Him anything according to His will, He heareth us. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Answered prayer is not for rebels. The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. We just closed the circuit. You see, you can be absolutely certain when you're praying in the Spirit, any prayer that the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart will be answered, because the prayer that originates in heaven certainly is not going to be rejected there. That's the reason it's so important. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. And to pray in the Spirit, you must be filled with the Spirit, and you're not going to be filled with the Spirit until you surrender. It all is linked together. I heard a beautiful definition of prayer. I love it. It's my favorite definition of prayer. May I give it to you? Prayer is the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father and putting that desire into our hearts and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. Did you get it? Prayer is the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father, putting that desire into our hearts, and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. So what is the kingdom of God? It is the kingdom of God's government. Thy will be done. Second thing I want you to notice as we talk about the kingdom of God, not only is it the kingdom of God's government, but it is the kingdom of God's grace. Look, if you will, now in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Don't you love that? A throne. It speaks of His kingdom. It speaks of His rule. Where does He rule from? What kind of a kingdom is it? What kind of a throne is it? Is it a throne of law? Is it a throne of judgment? No! It is a throne of grace. Two more wonderful words could not be put together, a throne and grace. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God's government, but it is also the kingdom of God's grace. Because if it were only the kingdom of God's government, all we can think about is the awesome majesty and glory and splendor and unapproachableness of the thrice holy God. How could we ever dare come? But the Bible says we can come right on. We come right to a throne of grace, one that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You say, do my faults keep me from coming to a throne of grace? No, my dear friend, it's your faults that bring you to the throne of grace. It's your need that brings you. Don't stay away because you have faults. Come and find mercy. Don't stay away because you're weak. Come and find help. When you're praying for His kingdom to come, not only is it a kingdom of God's government, but it is a kingdom of God's grace. We come to a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says in Ephesians that in the ages to come, He's going to show the riches of His grace. One of these days, folks, all of the vain toys of this world won't mean very much to you. When the setting sun of your life mingles with the purpling dawn of eternity, and you've laid down the toils and the toys of this world, and your loved ones stand around your casket, All that will really matter then is God's amazing grace. Thy kingdom come. It is the kingdom of God's government. It is the kingdom of God's grace. I'll tell you what else it is. It is the kingdom of God's goodness. When you're praying for the kingdom to come, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, what kind of a kingdom is it? Let me give you another verse to put in your margin. Are you ready for it? Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a kingdom of God's government. It's the kingdom of God's grace. And it's the kingdom of God's goodness. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you in the kingdom? Are you? Well, if you're in the kingdom, these are three marks that you're in the kingdom. Number one, righteousness. You want to know whether a man is saved or not? Just see if he's righteous. Is he righteous? I don't care how loud you shout or how high you jump. I want to know how straight you walk when you come back down. Has this thing called Christianity, has it changed your life? If your religion hadn't changed your life, you better change your religion. You don't have the New Testament religion. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness. But not only righteousness, peace. Peace with God and the peace of God and peace that passes understanding. That's the kingdom that you're praying for to come. And it's the kingdom of joy. The kingdom of joy. Let me go back to Joseph's son for a moment. When I was preparing this sermon, I thought of what he told me also. He said, Adrian, he said, back in the 70s, I was in my study. I was pastoring a church near Bucharest. And he said, I was in my home when suddenly at my door, there came seven secret police, the Securitate, the communist soldiers. They came into my house and said, we're going to search your house. And he said, they turned my house upside down. They were looking for any kind of literature, anything that I might have in my house that they could interpret as being against the government so they could put me in prison or maybe put me to death. And he said, they went through our house just looking, turning everything over. You know, they don't have the kind of a constitution we have that keeps soldiers just from breaking into your house and searching. Then he said, they went into my study and began to go through every book that I had. Now, you know, a pastor's books are very precious to him. They're like friends to him. They went into his study and they began to go through my books looking for something that could be interpreted as being against the government, perhaps some kind of anti-communist literature that might be there. And he said, they wanted to use it all for evidence against me. So they took every book and made me sign on the flyleaf that this was found in my study. One book after another they were taking down. I had to sign it. He said it was miserable. He said, I'd not signed many books when they laid a book before me. Do you know what the title of the book was? Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. He said, you cannot believe what a miserable day this was. And there was the title of that book, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. And the subtitle was this, Are You Experiencing It Now? Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Are you experiencing it now? And he said, oh God, your joy. Yes, I am experiencing it now. Greater than all of this is your joy. He said, I knew that the joy of the Lord was to be my strength. And I said to Elizabeth, Elizabeth, that's his wife, these men are guests in our home. Make some coffee for them, would you please? And serve them coffee. And he said, from that moment on, I was in control. no matter what else was happening. I was in control, and my king was on his throne, and the mark that my king was on his throne was joy, and it was my strength. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what you're praying for when you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," the kingdom of God's government. He is sovereign. The kingdom of God's grace. He is merciful. The kingdom of God's goodness. He is so good. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But there's one last thing I want to mention that you're praying for. When you're praying, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? In earth as it is in heaven. That prayer has not yet been answered, but friend, it will be answered, because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God's government. It is the kingdom of God's grace. It is the kingdom of God's goodness, and it is the kingdom of God's glory. Let me tell you something, friend. God is going to be glorified here upon this earth. He is going to rule here on earth. The babe of Bethlehem is going to be the sovereign king of the whole world. When Jesus Christ came into this world, the angel made this birth announcement. Put this verse down in your margin. Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. I want you to listen to it. Here's what the angel said about the baby that was born. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him," listen, "the throne of his father David," the throne of David, "and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, when he says the house of Jacob, he's talking there not about spiritual Israel, but literal Israel. The house of Jacob. Jacob is never a term that is used for spiritual Israel, always for natural Israel. We're talking here about the earthly reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ is going to rule one more time here on earth? Did you know that? I mean, literally rule here on earth where he was born, here on earth where he ministered, here on earth where he was crucified, here on earth where he was buried, here on earth where he rose, here on earth where he ascended, to this earth, Jesus Christ is literally, actually, visibly, bodily coming back to this earth. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Friend, he is going to reign on earth, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters that cover the sea. That's what the prophet said. Do you think that Jesus Christ would have taught us to pray this prayer if it would not have been answered? His kingdom has not come yet on earth. His will is not being done on earth, but it shall be, it will be, because our Lord taught us to pray that. Today, Jesus Christ is an outcast in the world of government, in the world of education, and in society. Turn to Psalm 2. If this does not set your heart on fire, your wood is very wet. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? I'll tell you why. Rage is what you do when you don't know what else to do. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Vain means foolish. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That means against his Christ. That's the Hebrew word, the Old Testament, for the New Testament word, Christ. The kings of the earth, the high muckety-mucks, set themselves. I see them as they square their jaws in rebellion, and the rulers take counsel together. They pool their ignorance against the Lord and against His Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want the Lord, and we don't want His Christ. Well, continue to read verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. It's not the laugh of humor, it's the laugh of irony. The Lord shall have them in derision. They've laughed at Him. He's the butt of the late night jokes. This nation is laughing its way into hell, but it won't laugh its way out once it gets there. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. There's coming a day of wrath. But here's the beautiful part. In my Bible, I've got one little word circled in red. It's verse 6, yet. Boy, that's a great word. Yet. Yet in spite of the ravings and the rantings and the mouthings of the agnostics, the atheists, the humanists, the ungodly, the perverts, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Don't you love that? God has set His heart on this, my dear friend. Yet, when God gets ready to enthrone the Lord Jesus like people playing checkers, He's going to move His Son into King's Row and say, crown Him. Crown Him! Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I love that. Do you know what the holy hill of Zion is? That's where they crucified Him. Friend, that's where He's going to reign. The Lord Jesus in Zion is going to reign. God has set His heart on it. How exciting is this? When we're praying, Thy kingdom come, it's the kingdom of God's glory. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In His time, when Jesus was carrying His cross, the women were standing there weeping and lamenting, and Jesus carrying that cross stopped and looked up. Said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. This is your hour. My hour has not yet come. This is your hour. My hour is not yet come. His time is coming, which in His time, in His hour, He shall show who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the blessed and only potentate. His kingdom, my friend, is a kingdom of glory. Friend, He's not going to a four-year inauguration. He's going to an eternal coronation. Hallelujah! He shall reign. He shall reign forever and ever. And ever, Jesus shall reign where the sun doth His successive journeys run, His kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. He has a kingdom. It's a kingdom of God's government. It's the kingdom of God's grace. It's the kingdom of God's goodness. And it's the kingdom of God's glory. I can hardly wait for the King to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Lord, we want to join the saints of the ages to pray as You've taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, if you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ today, we want to offer you an insightful resource on our website. It's our Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers to many questions about the Christian faith there, as well as a response section where you can share how this message or others have impacted you. Leave a prayer request as well. Go to lwf.org/radio and click on the tab that says Discover Jesus. We can't wait to hear from you today. I'm Chris Fabry. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to tune in next time for more insights from God's Word about His never-ending love worth finding.